www.fredsandoval.com, Fred Sandoval. And, of course, you can call me at 505-659-5108. We have advanced tickets. We'd love to hear from you. And more than anything, we look forward to seeing you on Saturday, September 25th.
It's going to be a great event and a nice venue. And a Saturday in September in Santa Fe is always a winner. Right on, Fred. Any last minute thoughts?
You know what? There's nothing like being able to have a music tribute to honor the legacy of one of our national heroes, the father of Chicano music. So this is a shout out to all those of us who have loved the music over the years of Chicano rock and roll artists, performers like Linda Ronstadt, Los Lobos, Ricky Valens, Mark Guerrero, and of course all the rock and roll groups, Balo and Santana. This is really connecting all that so we can recognize que las raíces, the very roots of Chicano music, ties into our very heritage.
Yeah, truly a unique event not to be missed. If you need any more ticket information, contact Fred Sandoval at triozia1@aol.com or call 505-659-5108. You can also give me a call here at the station, 277-5615, and I'll give you that information one more time. Fred, thank you so much for coming in. I know you've got some stuff coming up, but hopefully we'll see you up in Santa Fe Saturday, September 25th.
Looking forward to it. Adan, you're great. Thanks to KUNM.
Right on. Right on. Take care, Fred. And Fred forgot to mention that he is, some lucky listener is going to win a ticket to the event if you be the, about the fifth caller at 277-5615, 888-277-5615 if you're outside the area, and you'll receive a ticket to the event itself. Now let's get back to that interview with Mark Guerrero. Now, how have you sustained yourself as an artist and a musician throughout at least the middle part of your career when maybe commercial success was elusive, when maybe the popularity or the record sales weren't what people would hope for? What is it that an artist does to sustain their vision, their integrity, and how did you do it?
Well, it's not easy, and I'm still struggling with it today. You know, it's not easy. Because with all due modesty, I'm old enough now to want to just speak my mind, and I don't have to have any false modesty. But I believe those songs are as good as any for my generation of Chicano music and musicians, and I think my peers all recognize that. They all recognize it, and they know, and these songs are very good and very unique. And the commercial success is another thing. It's got to be the right timing, the right promotion, the luck. Everything, unifying, so there's a certain frustration there because I know that these are as good as anything, but if you don't have a hit along the line, you're not going to get as much work and not going to get as many concerts, and so you have to open for people and whatever. But my thing is I just want to play the music, get out there. I don't care, if I'm closing, opening. I'm just out there,
Oh, yeah.
And you just kind of keep doing what you do.
Some people say that a performing artist is a successful artist, man, but you've got to be creating something that endures. Mm-hmm. That's got to be the goal.
Yeah, I think I've done that because this stuff has survived and it's getting more and more known and recognized as time goes by. I may be gone by the time it gets recognition it may deserve, but what can you do? You just got to keep moving forward.
On the Boulevard, what's a good song that you'd like to hold out as an example of your work, something that you hope endures?
Well, as I say, I think I'm Brown is the best example, People Only Dream. I have other songs. I have quite a few. Mijito, a tribute to my mom.
Got that one right here.
I've got a lot of songs I think are very special and can endure. On the Boulevard is very well known, and it has its own whole history. Many people thought it was a hit, Legendary producer Richard Perry was interested in it. Dennis Lambert, a major producer and songwriter, was interested in it. The guy who signed Ritchie Valens, Bob Keane, was interested in recording it. It almost got recorded by some famous groups like Three Dog Night and Rod Stewart. And this song, people in Mexico thought it was a hit. This song everybody thought was a hit, but it never got released properly. It never got promoted properly. But so it's a well-known song, but by the same token, I don't think of it as important as some of my others because, you know, it's kind of a fun subject matter. It's a song about cruising the boulevard, so it's a, you know, it's kind of just a fun thing, a song kind of creating the atmosphere of the cruising of your local boulevard and meeting girls and blasting your stereo. And so it's kind of a fun, frivolous topic, but it's a cool song.
What are some of your more later works, some things that you've been working on most recently or in your most recent incarnation?
Well, you know, because of just the way life has gone, you know, I haven't been writing and recording in the last 10, 20 years as much as I'd like. And I've been more doing live concerts and working on my website and doing lectures and doing all these other things. And, you know, and part of the reason is that, you know, if you don't have a record deal, and a company that's going to be promoting your stuff, that's going to be, you know, moving your career ahead, kind of expensive to try to finance your own recordings and hire musicians. And so without that thing in place, I tend to be doing other things. And like I said, I am moving forward, and my music is getting better known through my website, my radio shows, interviews, all these things I'm doing are moving my music ahead. But I haven't been writing a lot lately, but occasionally I do, and I write songs for other people. Trini Lopez recorded one of my songs a few years ago. Chan Romero, who wrote the Hippie Hippie Shake, a very famous rock song that the Beatles used to play, I wrote him a rock and roll song. And so I do write some, but I'm mainly performing and doing my my other work.
Some people say that the digital age has cost so many artists as far as record sales, but I think in your case it served to help you as a historian gather a lot of information and knowledge that before existed but wasn't centrally located. I mean, if people will go and take a look at markguerrero.com or markguerrero.net, they'll see exactly what I mean. There's pages and pages and pages of historical documents, music, flyers, even every single thing that you can imagine about this.
Soundbites,
oh,
videos.
The website is intensely immense.
Yeah, you know, it's huge.
Do you have anybody else that helps you work on that, or is that
I do it myself in my spare time, whatever spare time I have.
Yeah, man.
I just keep adding to it, It's become a huge mountain, you know, and has a life of its own.
Now, what have you got coming up as far as performances or work? What's 2010 and 11 going to
look like? For example, this year, I've been playing with the latest incarnation of Cannibal and the Headhunters that in the 60s had the hit Land of a Thousand Dances. And so I've been doing a little touring with them. We played a PBS special in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania a couple of months ago. We did a tour. We went to Kentucky and New Mexico, went to Carlsbad, New Mexico, and did a show where we did our music and backed up a lot of classic rock artists such as Denny Lane of the Moody Blues and Wings with Paul McCartney, Joey Molland of Badfinger, Terry Sylvester of the Hollies, and we did that. And this weekend I'm going to play in El Paso, Texas with Redbone, Come and Get Your Love, the Native American Chicano group. And and then on September 18th here in Palm Springs, there's going to be a huge Chicano music festival. It's going to be Saturday and Sunday, the 18th and 19th of September, and I'm on the bill. I'm going to do a set of my material and do a couple of my dad's songs. I'll be playing with Cannibal and Headhunters as well. El Chicano is going to be there, Tierra, Los Fabulocos with Kid Ramos, Mariachi Reina de Los Angeles, and then on Sunday we got Malo featuring Jorge Santana. We've got Quetzal, Lala Romero, MC Magic, a rapper, the Blazers, a roots rock group from the 90s, and another mariachi, a male mariachi. So it's 2 days of music out on a golf course outdoors, and so that's going to come up in about 3 weeks. And you can go to psfiestadays.com for more information on that, and or my website, markguerrero.com. And go to my What's New page, and you can see hopefully some people from New Mexico will come. Why not? It's going to be a huge Chicano event. And then a week after that is my Santa Fe thing, so it's a really exciting month this month.
Oh, yeah. As far as that event in Palm Springs, what's that called?
It's called it's called Fiesta Days in Palm Springs, and it's bringing Chicano culture into Palm Springs. In the Coachella Valley here where I live, east of the, you know, if you go east, you got the Chicano areas, Indio, Coachella, you know, down valley, there's more Latinos. And when you come into Palm Springs, there are some, but it's less. So the idea of this is to bring Chicano culture into downtown Palm Springs. And hopefully, you know, people of all cultures will come to the event. It's great music. And we're hoping to get Chicanos to come from everywhere to, you know, make it into a little Chicano Woodstock. You know, why not?
And all across the listening audience, people are map-questing directions to Palm Springs without going through Arizona.
That's right. Go around or around Arizona.
Down Mexico way.
Or drive through it quickly with a clothespin on your nose. No, yeah. I hate to say that. I love Arizona, but it's sad that these reactionary things are happening there.
Now, as far as some of these bands that you were talking about playing at that event, how do those bands like Cannibal and the Headhunters and Malo and El Chicano, who are out there still performing, how do they keep their sound fresh, or do they just have enough of an audience that wants the nostalgia of the old sound and nothing else?
Well, it's great. You know, I'm very, very close and good friends with El Chicano in particular, but also Tierra. I mean, I've known these some of these guys since the 60s, and some of them I've known less time, the newer guys, but I know all the guys from both bands, and Tierra backed me up 2 years ago on a PBS special called Trini Lopez Presents Latin Music Legends, and the show, PBS show, had El Chicano, Tierra, Little Willie G and the Midnighters, the Greg Raleigh Band, Greg Raleigh, the Santana. Original organist, vocalist of Santana, and I sang Los Chucos Suaves backed by Tierra, so they backed me up beautifully, and then El Chicano, I've sat in with them many times. Recently, a few weeks ago, they played at Spotlight 29 Casino out here in Indio, and I sang Brown Eyed Girl with them and sang harmony on their hit, Tell Her She's Lovely. I've been on stage with El Chicano several times, and I have a very good relationship with them. And the bands are as good as ever right now. I just saw them last Saturday at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles, both bands opening for Los Lonely Boys, and they kick butt, man. They got great musicians. They're as good as ever. They're very vital. El Chicano just got a brand new drummer who played with Santana. He's a monster. And, both bands are in prime form right now.
How about of the younger bands or some younger acts that are coming up that are playing Chicano music or trying to keep that sound alive? Know of any that you might recommend or you find especially interesting?
That's a tough one. I because of my website, I'm always getting CDs by young groups and stuff. As you know, music has changed. A lot of the young Chicano groups nowadays incorporate rap. They incorporate, reggaeton ska, a lot of those kind of groups. Quinto Sol, Banda Scalavera, there's Chinche Berrinches, there's all these punky groups, there's a guy out of, I think it's Houston, his name is Jesse Flores, and he does some really good stuff, and he's a little bit more old school. He really does stuff that some of it sounds old school, and using the traditional instruments, real pianos, organs, guitars, not a bunch of synthesizers and, artificial stuff. He's pretty good, and I forgot the name of his group right now at the moment, Voodoo Cafe. Voodoo Cafe, V-U-D-U Cafe. He's very good singer. A lot of people are starting to look back at the old school stuff and start to appreciate it and try to recreate it,
You're talking about the East Side Sound?
East Side Sound and the sort of early 70s Chicano rock of Tierra El Chicano, that kind of thing, where, again, it's more traditional sounding and organic and alive and less, synthesized.
Well, you say that at the same time that we're facing situations like in Arizona where at the same time that maybe a different part of our country or society is ready to embrace the whole Chicano sound, there are certain elements that are trying like hell to depress the Chicano sound, the Chicano experience.
Oh, I know, and I'm really upset about that and depressed about that. I mean, like, again, I'm hearing that in Arizona they're trying to get rid of the Chicano studies programs and the ethnic studies, and it's like, oh my God, what is this, Nazi Germany? It's like pretty sad. I hope that doesn't succeed. That would be terrible. We can be Americans, but we still should know and be proud of who we are, and that helps us have more self-esteem and succeed in this society. We don't want to be second-class citizens.
Man, I'm telling you, I was looking over Lalo's accomplishments, achievements, awards, and one thing that stood out, of course, Tejano Hall of Fame. Right?
Yeah.
And right there with it, Arizona Music and Entertainment Hall of Fame.
Right.
2005, the first class. He was one of the 22 inductees.
Yeah, and I was there, and I got to represent him. My brother and I both went, and I got to perform Los Chucos Suaves and Tin Marín de los Pingües with a kick-ass... I'm sorry, can I say kick-ass?
Sure.
With a kick-ass little four-piece group, I think it was, and it really was fun, and... that was an honor to play there. And then we went to the State House in Arizona, and my dad received a posthumous proclamation, and we were there to receive that. It was a great great time. My dad previously was inducted into the Tejano Hall of Fame, and that was interesting because he wasn't from Texas, but he did do a lot of Tex-Mex and Tejano music, amongst everything else he did, you know.
That's Tejano enough, man.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you. What do you think he would say about the situation, the state of affairs in Arizona, for instance? I mean,
I'm
he
sure
was from
very,
there.
Also, he'd also be angry and sad about it and probably shocked. I mean, it shocks me because it kind of came out of left field. And to go that far as to try to get rid of the ethnic studies, man, and Chicano studies, that's crazy. And isn't this supposed to be America and academic freedom and freedom of thought? What's going on here?
It's just totally unacceptable. I mean, I hate to opinionate or whatever right there, but, I mean, this is somebody who'd won the National Medal of Arts, who's acknowledged internationally for his work, his contribution, his vision, his creativity. And 5 years later, the state that honored him is, you know, just so threatened or so angry at the Mexican or the Mexican-American legacy, whatever. I can't even articulate it because I don't fully understand it, you know.
And what's scary is it's starting to spread to other states. I mean, yeah, they got the right idea. They're starting to spread this idea.
Do you think, or is that just the commercial media trying, the corporate media trying to capitalize a story that just stirs emotions up, such as what they do when they get behind a sound or a story that they like or has a lot of legs or something like that?
Well, I'm sure they exploit it, and it's good ratings. But I mean, from what I've seen, there are other states that are trying to pass similar laws, and I've seen, you know, senators and governors saying, "Yeah, I think they got the right idea." I mean, I've seen them on TV, and it's like. And that's really scary too. So we got to keep fighting it. My brother was at a demonstration there in Phoenix a couple of weeks ago, and he was actually marching with Dolores Huerta and Linda Ronstadt. It's a pretty good company to keep.
Yeah, fantastic. I don't know. I think the only way that you can fight that sort of opinion or that sort of ignorance is with love, art. I don't know. You just
and boycotting products.
Yeah,
The
bottom line is the bottom line. You know.
Money.
But I was looking at one of your songs. I think it's called If I Could Touch Your Life. That one seemed to have such a positive message. And I guess that's what I was saying just a minute ago. You want so much to not fight fire with fire, not fight hate with hate, but to try to, above all, stay true to your own personal integrity, your message, maintain some sort of positive outlook. I know a lot of artists can capitalize on anger and hate and stirring that up.
Right.
And for some reason that sells. But what I like about your music is the thoughtfulness, the thought-provoking yet embracing, outreaching message that it has. And I think I was talking about If I Could Touch Your Life, which I think has that sort of thing, but at very, very different levels. But again, a beautiful song. And I think that's how I would characterize your sound as definitely varied, but always with a thought-provoking message, something from the heart.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, another tool that my dad used and I use is you can use humor. You can get a political point or a strong point across using humor, and that way the person that is being targeted can listen to it because they're not being preached to or yelled at. It's like, it's funny, and they can enjoy it, and they go, wait a minute, I think I learned something there, you know. Like I have a song that I'm going to do in Santa Fe, and it's called I, Nobody Told Me. And it's a song that I wrote about immigration. And the idea is, you know, the chorus is, I, nobody told me. I, how could I know? I, nobody mentioned I'd have it like this when I left Mexico. And then it says, like, I got my first job in a sweatshop in downtown USA. And when I wanted my paycheck, the boss said, I'll call immigration today. I, nobody told me. You know, then it goes into, I was reading the news in the morning. I couldn't believe what I read. They blame me for crimes and diseases, unemployment and aches of the head. I, nobody told me. And the last verse, I'm really proud of. I often choke up when I sing it. And sometimes the audience applauds and chokes me up. Because they say, go back where you came from. They always seem to forget that I was here many thousands of years, and I'll be here for thousands more yet.
Man, what a fantastic sound. Now, I'm looking at another CD that's the On the Boulevard, the anthology, 1979 through 88. What are some songs there that, well, I can tell you right now, a couple of songs on there really caught my attention, and one is If I Could Touch Your Life. Another one that we talked about, Rosalie, and I loved Latin Quarter. But I know for you, a big song was, in really, really a cool song, Room for the Latin, and then Pre-Columbian Dream.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what can you tell us about those two songs?
Room for the Latin is a very, like, sort of Latin, jazzy, a little Steely Danny influenced thing, and with a nice Latin groove. And I love it because it's got, like, this Montuno piano in there, very Latin Montuno salsa type piano with a rock and roll guitar over it, you know. And that song was simply inspired by the fact that you know, that Latino rock and rollers and pop artists tend to have a harder road to get hit records. You know, there's a certain amount of prejudice there, but there's also a certain view that, well, you know, brown skinned people aren't going to sell in New Hampshire or Iowa, or, you know, they're just a regional thing, or they misunderstand who we are, and they throw you into the Latin division, which is Spanish-speaking music. They don't understand what a Chicano is and why we should have the right to do a country song or country rock or blues, you know.
Go.
So.
In the city of the angels, on the east side of town, we grew up on the music. You could hear it all around. We practiced in garages, we played the dances too. We dreamed about the big time and all the things we'd do. But we wondered if we really had a chance to make it on the radio. We paid our dues, but we didn't know if there was room for the Latin in rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be room for you at this event Saturday, September 25th, if you're the sixth caller as the music starts. Thank you. Go to a tribute like this that is honoring your father, Lalo Guerrero. Do people leave enough time? Are they receptive and genuinely open to listening to your artistic creativity, your work, your projects? Do you feel that there's enough time there for people to enjoy and listen to your samples, or are they just interested in only looking back at Lalo's work?
That's a good question. I mean, I haven't had a problem so far, and I I certainly hope I don't have one in Santa Fe. I don't think so. I really think that my stuff, again, modestly speaking, is good enough and interesting enough.
It is.
That it stands on its own, and it fits with my dad's. It all goes together. So, I want to pay tribute to him and do stuff of his, but I also want to keep my legacy going and keep the whole family legacy going, and that's the way to do it.
Fantastic, man. What's Saturday night going to be like, Saturday, September 25th? How do you describe that show?
Well, like I said, it's what I like about it. It's just the naked guitar voice and hearing the essence in every word of the songs. And I'm going to really take a nice cross-section of some of my dad's things that I do. Like I do Nunca Jamás, I do Los Chucos Suaves, I'm going to do a couple of his comedy things like Tacos for Two and some of those. And then I'm going to throw in Pre-Columbian Dream, I'm Brown, I'm on the Boulevard, and some of my stuff and mix them up. And I think they fit perfectly together.
Excellent, man. Excellent. What else do you have going on after that? Like the rest of
September? Well, I'm going to continue to play and tour with Cannibal and the Headhunters and Redbone. and then hopefully do more lectures and do more performances of my music, and my radio show's back on, by the way. My radio show called Chicano Music Chronicles, it's on crnlive.com. CRN stands for Chicano Radio Network. crnlive.com. And my show is airing on Wednesdays at 2 o'clock. I think this is Pacific time. Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock and Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock. And we're playing one show a month. So like my show on El Chicano will play Wednesdays and Sundays all month. Then the next month will be Tierra. The next month will be Lalo Guerrero. Next month will be me. Next month will be Los Illegals, the Chicano punk group. Each show features my favorite songs by the artist, and I talk to them about their music. And so you get the band's history and inside stories like I'm doing. You'll hear El Chicano talk about their career in music. And so they're little time capsules and historic but entertaining little time capsules of each group, in their history.
How do you feel at this stage in your career? Are you doing what you want to do? Are you happy? Satisfied?
Yeah, I'm happy because I'm doing all these things. I like the diversity of all that I do. Of course, like everyone else in this economy, I'd like more of everything, more concerts, more lectures. But funnily enough, I'm a little like my dad in that all these things that I do kind of come to me. And I also don't have an agent. I don't have a manager. I haven't really marketed myself much. But I think I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start more aggressively marketing my lectures and trying to do more of everything.
Do you think it's at this age or at this stage in your career that you feel, we're probably about the same age. I wouldn't say that the clock is ticking or anything, but do you feel like a real crush to just get everything in that you possibly can? Or?
Absolutely, because I am older than you, probably at least 10 years. You feel like you only have so much time, so I want to get as much in as possible, absolutely. And I really love working on my website. That's an equal part of my legacy. The way I look at it, my legacy, aside from my dad's legacy, is my body of work, my music, my website that represents 12 years of research and work, my radio shows, which are these, as I say, these little time capsules of Chicano music. So all these things, will survive me and hopefully be there for future generations. I've donated my stuff to UC Santa Barbara, and my dad's archives are there. There's a thing called CIMA, California Multi-Ethnic Archive, or something like that. And so, you know, my records are there, my recordings, a copy of my website, my radio shows, and they take care of those, and researchers can go in and hear those things and study all these things, hopefully indefinitely. My dad's things are there as well.
In a more general term, I would mention again that we were talking about how hard it is for a Chicano man to, how would I say this? You know, the saying that if you don't know where you come from, how do you know who you are? And for a Chicano man to look to his immediate history, his relationship with his father is often difficult because, and I hate to, I'm not stereotyping or generalizing, I'm just saying sometimes the father wasn't there, the dad wasn't in the household, there wasn't a male figure there. So you don't know where to look back and never really get a good sense of where you were going to because of that. But in your case, your father was there and a big influence in your life, and you have that foundation. But I wonder, for you, how is it that you are going to be remembered? How is it that you want your legacy to be recorded?
Well, I hope I'm remembered as not only Lalo Sen, but as an individual. And that's one of my, it's kind of a pet peeve, you know, it really kind of bothers me when I'm introduced first and foremost as Lalo's son, you know what I mean? Sure. So, here's Lalo Guerrero's son. Now we'd like to introduce our friend, son of Lalo Guerrero. It's like, I am son of Lalo Guerrero. I'm proud of it. But I also have 45 years of hard work doing my own music, doing my own research, doing my all the work we've discussed. And so I'm my own person with my own history and legacy and hard work and accomplishments. So, you know, I'd like to be remembered as myself and what I've done, and then also that I'm Lalo's son and part of that legacy, and I'm proud of that. But I want to be, you know, seen as my own person, you know, first and foremost. So I prefer when people introduce me as Mark Guerrero, singer-songwriter, Chicano music historian, and son of Lalo Guerrero. That's cool, but not when it's first.
Yeah.
Because I'm my own person.
Yeah, man, I dig that. I'm telling you, just being Chicano is enough. But trying to be a Chicano artist must be a whole nother story.
And especially, you know, when you're Lalo's son, you know, it's a huge, huge shadow there.
Man, fascinating.
It's kind of like being John Lennon's son or Bob Dylan's son. It's kind of, yeah, difficult.
You never felt like you had to escape that or react to it?
Oh, yeah, I have felt that way. But again, mine is a unique thing because, say, in the case of John Lennon or Bob Dylan, the world knows who that is. In my case, the Chicano world knows who that is, but the Anglo world doesn't know who that is. So, you know, when I'm doing rock and roll, it's kind of irrelevant. But if I do Chicano music, it's like, wow, you're Lalo's son, man. It's like you're Frank Sinatra's son or something, you know. It's a heavy-duty thing.
As Lalo's son, and I'm going to say, I guess, the caretaker of his legacy, is it important to you to just remember and keep him in people's minds, or is there room and ways to grow his legacy, his impact?
Yeah, I think we have. You know, my brother and I, have you seen the documentary on my dad?
Yes.
It's called Lalo Guerrero, the Original Chicano.
Yeah.
And my brother, who's a very talented person in his own right, he was more in the theater world, you know.
Dan, right?
Yeah, Dan. But he produced an incredible documentary on my dad's life. And I think that's something that is helping to keep his legacy alive and actually move it forward, you know. I mean, if he hadn't done that, his story wouldn't be available in such a nice, neat, here's an hour documentary, see this, and you'll see who he is and what he's thought of, you know, like it has Ry Cooder, Linda Ronstadt, people, Los Lobos, just rhapsodizing about him, Eddie Olmos, Cheech Marin, Paul Rodriguez, I mean, these people loved and really admired his work to an unbelievable degree, and it has his life story and all the different styles he's done, and it's got him talking and being interviewed throughout. It's a tremendous thing. And I've kept his legacy alive through my concerts, always including his songs, my radio shows, with my website. It has all kinds of information on my dad, more than anywhere else you're going to find. So I am very big on keeping his legacy alive because he is so great and important, and so, you know, that's part of what I do is trying to keep his legacy alive as well.
Right on. I want to remind people once again, we're talking to Mark Guerrero, who is going to be here Saturday, September 25th, 2010, at El Museo Cultural at the Guadalupe Rail Yard in Santa Fe, New Mexico, as part of a music tribute to Lalo Guerrero, the father of Chicano music. If you need more information on that, you can call Fred Sandoval at 505-659-5108 or email him at triozia1@aol.com, or you can give me a call here at the studio. Mark, some final thoughts. What is it that you want people to take away from this interview, take away from the event on September 25th and work with? What is it that you would like for people to know?
Well, I'm glad, first of all, thank you for the interview, and I'm really glad that people are going to get to know me better, know more about who I am, what I'm about, what my history is, and you know, they'll have a much better idea what they're going to come and see, and I hope it makes them more wanting to come and tell their friends, and we want to have a big turnout there, and I'll have a lot of fun and you know, learn more about my dad and Chicano music.
Are you going to be doing the swing dance lessons, man? Will somebody help me out with that?
I am not a dancer. I can't move very well. I mean, it's not that I can't move. I mean, I'm not. I don't have good movidas, you know. I spent too much time playing music and not dancing. So, if it's not a slow dance or a simple thing, forget it.
Can't even fake it, huh?
I don't dance. No.
Right on, Mark Guerrero. Thank you so much for taking the time with me. I know we've spent a little bit of time getting ready for this show, and for me, it's just been fascinating. A true inside look at a music and cultural legend that I had never really grasped the importance of Lalo Guerrero, and I'm not sure I ever will, but yeah. just visiting with you these last few days and talking about that has really, really been enriching, and I think underscored the importance of Lalo as a person, not just within our community, but within our country. And I think his the impact of his legacy is still being felt and is something that has not yet been fully appreciated. Fascinating, fascinating
exactly.
Person.
Thanks, Adan. And it was great, great interviews, great questions, very intelligent, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. We're going to see you Saturday. When are you coming out to Santa Fe?
I'm actually arriving, I believe,
Thursday,
yeah, and I might be doing some local radio and TV before the actual event on Saturday. So I'm going to have a nice, you know, 4 days there and really get to be around Santa Fe, which I love. I haven't been there since about 1992 or 3. I'd been there twice before, but it's been quite a while, and I love it there and really look forward to soaking the food, the culture, and everything up.
Oh, yeah, man.
By the way, I have a song about it.
This is Adan, and I do thank you so much for tuning into Raíces. It's beautiful and righteous Labor Day 2010. What a fantastic, mind-expanding interview that was with Mark Guerrero, who'll be here Saturday, September 25th, 2010, at El Museo Cultural in Santa Fe. Yeah, and I do have one more ticket for fourth caller after the station ID and the music starts. Yeah, let me go over the playlist very quickly there. We heard from, and these two were from On the Boulevard, an anthology. We heard Mark Guerrero and On the Boulevard and Room for the Latin. We're going to hear some more, although not off that CD, but coming up.
Yeah. This is New Mexico's community-powered public radio, KUNM and KUNM HD 89.9, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, KRRT 90.9, Arroyo Seco, Taos, KRRE 91.9, Las Vegas, KRAR 91.9, Española, and KBOM 88.7, Socorro. Online at KUNM.org.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for the calls and the comments. Again, the playlist is at KUNM.org. Or you can call me at 277-5615 or 888-277-5615. In the background, we're listening to El Chicano off the Best Of and Viva Tirado. As soon as I get off the mic here, I'm going to put on something else, and then I will take the fourth caller for a ticket to the music tribute to Lalo Guerrero.